As we continue in worship this day, we are finishing up this series from the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans 11, 1 through 2a, and then it kind of jumps all the way to Romans 29 through 32. The words will be found on the screen as well. Before I read, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to read upon your word, to be reminded of your grace that you pour upon our lives and your mercy. We give you thanks that you are in control of all things and that we can lean into that. Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So Romans 11, 1 through 2a, it's always a little bit confusing, but it stops at the first period. So, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. All the way to verse 29 now. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. God is in control, and we are not. Throughout the scriptures, God calls broken people, hurt people, disobedient people, and he saves them. God gives the law to Moses and others throughout the Old Testament, and it's not obeyed. God then sends Christ, God incarnate, to live among the people, to live and be an example of the creation of the new law for the people, and even Christ is rejected by the people. Even then, we see how God has a purpose and a plan and continues to work through all circumstances to save the people through his death and resurrection. God is in control. Throughout this series from the book of Romans, we've been through chapter 8 and 9 and 10, and now some from chapter 11, we've seen how God works throughout the brokenness of our lives through Christ's grace and inseparable love for his children. We've seen how God overcomes the brokenness of human relations and uniting us as children of God. Unfortunately, so many churches have and continue to create separation and division among God's people going back many years. In 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "It is appalling that the most segregated hour in Christian America is the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning." This was based mainly on racial separation, and according to the experts, that assertion remains true today. About 8 in 10 American congregations still attend services at a place where a single racial or ethnic group comprises at least 80% of the congregation. But today, so many churches aren't just divided racially, but with so many other theological differences that come up as well regarding baptism or calling or ordination. And I've seen some churches today that even divide within themselves to align themselves politically with one party. Friends, God's plan is restoration, unity, and wholeness. Paul trusts in this as he sorts through the frustrating divisions between Jews and Gentiles, the law and God's grace, among a few other things. And so Paul poses the question in Romans 11:1. He says, has God rejected his people? By no means. Other translations say, of course God didn't reject God's people. And the strength of his answer suggests that he can't even imagine a scenario under which God would reject God's Israelite people. Paul offers himself as an example of God's persistent mercy to a stubbornly sinful Jew. Paul will have no part in theology that implies God will not keep God's promises. Because if God will not prove faithful to the promises made throughout Israel's history, then Christians have no good reason, as we've talked about, to expect God will keep the ones made to us through Christ. For God cannot have rejected the people whom he foreknew, simply because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. In Eugene Peterson's The Message translation of the scriptures of verse 11, chapter 11, verse 29, he puts it this way. He said, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. Paul is emphasizing that God does not go back on his word. God uses the salvation of the Gentiles to inspire jealousy in the hearts of the chosen people, for the mercy of God extends to all people. God uses unlikely circumstances to build the church. Gentiles believe when many in Israel turned away. Then many in Israel believe when provoked by Gentile belief. In Paul's estimation, God accomplished the salvation of all Israel through the reciprocal movements of Jews and Gentiles, that both have been disobedient and both have been a beneficiary of the other, and both receive mercy. God works among Jews and Gentiles in salvation such that no one may boast or be arrogant or wise in their own conceits. Then as Jews and Gentiles live out their faith with one another, no one may think more highly of themselves than they ought to, but must use their gifts humbly in body with many members. No one may pass judgment on another or cause another to stumble, but must live to please his neighbor rather than himself. You know, I wonder, what heaven will be like. You ever wonder what heaven will be like? Who will we see in heaven? Who will we see and say, but wait, hold up. You mean when Paul said nothing can separate us from the love of God, he was right? He wasn't joking? That no one has a ground for boasting because all stand before God on the basis of grace? And humility and wonder should guide us as we consider salvation, ours or anyone else's. You see, God is in control. In chapter 11, as we've been seeing throughout these last few weeks, we find this passage primarily about God's faithfulness and less about the successes and failures of people's faith. Romans 11 points to a God who is profoundly patient with those who prefer to reject God. This text offers hope for even the worst of sinners. And as long as we live, God offers us the opportunity to receive God's grace with our faith. And he cares about us, and he does not write anyone off. Friends, we know there's brokenness in the world, all around us, sometimes too close than we prefer to acknowledge. And we say, if God is in control, then why is there poverty? Why is there people sleeping on the sidewalks? Why are there people who hurt themselves or one another? Why is there a disease that takes our loved ones away too early? If God is in control, then why? These are life's unanswerable questions. We can't pretend to know all the answers, and we often make things worse by trying to explain things, but here's what we can do and what we must do, and that's to trust that God will be merciful. And in spite of all that is broken, sometimes through our own disobedience and sin, we trust that God is still able to work through any and all situation for the good and is merciful to all. This is the God we serve. This is the God who's in control. This is the God who invites us to be a participant in God's mission and restoration and unity, working beside God to heal broken places and broken people. This is our call as Christians. This movement between the Jews and the Gentiles ends up at the end of chapter 11 in verses 33 through 36 with Paul ending in worship. You see, Paul envisions all God's people together worshiping God in view of God's faithfulness and mercy. All together. In fact, the whole letter moves in this direction, saying, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus that together you may have one voice, glorifying God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Perhaps, maybe, we can reflect that movement in the world around us as we consider others in our understanding of salvation and practical living and worship. I mean, as I think about myself, I wonder how in the world this wild teenager from Beeville, Texas, has been called to preach the word of God each week. And I give thanks for God's mercy in my life and desire to reflect that mercy in my interactions and in my way of life with others. You see, any church that would be faithful must be a congregation that finds a way to go outside of itself into the world, presenting the gospel in word and deed to all. Friends, God is in control. And even as sinful as we are, God is able to work through his mercy to use us to be agents of love so that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next week, got the book down there. Dee, can you grab it? Right behind my coffee. There you go. So The Art of Neighboring, I think this church may have done it 2015. So does anyone have a new neighbor since 2015? All right. Maybe if you have a new neighbor, you can fill in at least one new name in your block of who surrounds you and learn their names and learn about them. We just moved to a new neighborhood, and I've met, you know, a couple of the neighbors, one on either side of me and one in a little cul-de-sac, and one down the street at Halbert and Jester, but we're still kind of learning. And I've looked out my bathroom window, and wished you can't pick your neighbors, but we get to meet our neighbors and learn about them, and so we're going to be looking at that, and that's going to be how do we go outside of ourselves to meet those around us in word and deed. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your grace in our life, that you are in control, and Lord, we fall short every day, but you continue to to use us as your people and call us to continue to share your love and grace with others. And so we give you thanks for that forgiveness that we experience, and may we share that forgiveness with others as well. Lord, we thank you for our church, the ways in which it's already an agent of your love and compassion for the world around us, and we've seen that through just even the last couple Saturdays of building wheelchair ramps and serving at Open Door, and on Thursday mornings entering into the clothing closet and serving over 50 folks each week. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for the ways in which we can be your hands and feet, take the gospel outside these walls, and be agents of your grace with the world around us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. This morning we have the opportunity to respond to God with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. The second mile giving this month goes to Drive a Senior. It's a ministry that helps provide rides to those who can no longer drive themselves. I think I signed up for two this week, and I'll let you know how those go. We're looking forward to doing Drive a Senior this week, and so your financial gift this week goes to support that ministry and the overhead and the ability for it to continue to serve our community. So we thank you for that. Thank you for all the ways you respond to God. Thanks for these, your gifts given this day, the tithes, the offerings, the prayers. We put them before you that you might multiply them, that you might hear them, that you might use them for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.